The majority of people in America think that Easter has something to do with going to church. Nothing wrong with it, going to church, because it's a family tradition. Coloring eggs, children's egg hunting, and colorful rabbit. And then what else is there? Right? And eat, of course, we eat. We eat anyway. Nothing much more. Well, what they don't know is that this is the day of a celebration that changed our entire human kind of eternal destination. For those who choose to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. At the same time, many people do not know that entire truth of the Christianity literally hinged on this resurrection of Jesus Christ. Apart from this resurrection of Jesus Christ, everything fell apart. Many brilliant unbelievers chose to disapprove the truth of Christianity, especially the resurrection historically. So they challenged, and only to find themselves become a devout follower of Jesus Christ in the end. Two good examples are Josh McDowell and Frank Morrison. Josh McDowell, who studied as a, I believe he was a kind of law student, and when he wanted to disapprove Christianity, so he started to study, do the research, and end up writing this book, The Evidence That Demands the Verdict. If you want to study Christianity, this is a must in your library. Do we have it in the bookstore, Bob, Rambo? We don't? We can get them, right? We can get them. Rambo can get them. Frank Morrison, he's not the kind of person you would find in a church on Sunday morning. However, he was a very, very well-respected among the believers as well as unbelievers in England because of his high education and intelligence. He was a skeptic philosophically and especially toward Christianity. Being a lawyer himself, that is, he decided that he's going to demolish the Christianity single-handedly by dismantling the truth of the idea of a resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he did. To disprove the historic belief, and he started to do the research, and by the time he finished the book, it turned out to be one of the best defense of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. In preface, Morris recounted his intellectual struggle in this way. I'll read it to you. The book, as it was originally planned, was left high and dry, like those Thames barge where the great river goes out to meet incoming sea. The writer discovered one day that not only could he no longer write the book as he had once conceived it, but that he would not if he could, because he became a follower of Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word we are about to receive. Many says Christmas is the biggest gift to the mankind, because Christ was born. But we realized that his birth would be meaningless if he didn't die and rose again from the dead. That's why you came to earth and went through the horrible ordeal for us. We thank you and we praise you. We exalt your holy name as our Savior and Lord. Today, anyone who do not know you may come to know you. It does not matter how religious they are, how good they are as they think. You may enter into their heart by their invitation. And those who walked away from you, those backsliders may come back to you. Let your great Holy Spirit stir our heart, that there will be a great spiritual awakening in America. And pray for the President Obama, that he may come to know Jesus. That also that he may come to know Jesus, so that he would not do the things, that evil things that he's been doing. And we pray for our troop safety around the world, especially the one in the harm's way in Afghanistan and Iraq, or wherever they are. And we also lift up the law enforcement personnel, the sheriff deputies, and the police officers, the border patrol agent, or federal agent, and firefighters, all of them. We're asking you to protect them as they protect us. We're asking you to guide us, our heart, that we may understand your truth clearly. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there is something about the truth that nobody can disapprove. Its existence. Its existence. Whether people want to agree with the truth or not, truth always exists and it is absolute. Many people insist that the truth can be relative. Truth can be relative. Chuck, can I have your wallet, please? I hope there's something good inside. He trusts me, right? Wow. You sit on this thing? I hope not. Your spine can go out of whack. Let's say not yet. I might keep it. It might just fit in my pocket. Let's say he believes in relative truth. So if good is good to you, more power to you. You cannot really decide if somebody's good or bad by your standard. So if it's good for you, fine. If it's not good for you, don't insist to other people. That can be relative truth. Truth can be changed. It depends on the situation. However, when that truth, that their relative truth, all of a sudden start to go again, turn against their own benefit, this, guess what they do? They all of a sudden start to demand absolute truth. I asked for his wallet. Let's say he believes in the relative truth, and I take it away from him, and all of a sudden he may realize there's a $200, and there's my credit card, and there's my information. He wrote down the password of his savings account, and here. Do you know some people actually do that kind of thing? A friend of mine did that. He put his password next to his ATM card, and he lost. Then all of a sudden, he's going to say, you cannot take that thing from me because that's mine. So if I say, well, it's good for me, you just said if it's good for me, it's mine, right? All of a sudden, to him, absolute truth stands. No longer relative truth. Everybody witness, I gave him back. The truth of Christianity is, you guys know this, but we're going to go into the 4 points. First one, every single human being from the Adam and Eve is sinner by birth and by choice. By birth and by choice. Second point is Jesus Christ, who is God the Son, and God himself came down from the heaven to die for our sin because no one else could do it for us. Agreed? And anyone who accepts him as the Lord and Savior can have eternal life in heaven. Third point, he died and rose again. And he died on the cross as the ultimate sacrifice once and for all, and was buried in the tomb. I'm sure the devil thought, hee-haw, this is my day. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead bodily, unlike a Jehovah's Witness idea, spiritually, bodily resurrection, and ascended to heaven and sat on the right side of the throne of God the Father. That's the gospel truth. Please allow me to repeat what I just said one time at the beginning. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the great central fact that everything in Christianity is linked. It's not a resuscitation, it's a total resurrection. To be resurrected, Jesus had to overcome death, which is the final enemy of mankind. With that in mind, Jesus' death on the cross was the payment for the truth, and his resurrection was the receipt to confirm that Jesus' sacrifice from the God the Father. Are you with me?
Yes.
When Jesus said, "It is finished," and that is the kind of banking term, I submit my righteousness to human's account. Folks, this is not a myth. This is not legend. This is not some fancy idea Christians holding on to. It occurred in history. This is the true change we can believe in. And that Jesus is the true Messiah, not the one like was generated by the lamestream media. Some of you may think, what difference does it make in my life, the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I still have to get up in the morning and go to work tomorrow morning, just like I have been. I have. And it doesn't make any difference. I work tomorrow. I still live here. And it's not going to make any difference in my attitude, whether he is risen from the dead or not. But it better. What you said is correct in this short lifespan. In this short lifespan. There's a two side in human life, folks. Listen carefully, please. What you're living on the physical side will end someday. I know some of your teenage young people think that you will go on forever, right? I've seen one too many young people drop dead out of nowhere. All of a sudden, they just died. Our physical side, when it ends, there's another side that kicks in, completely in full capacity. That is the spiritual side. When the physical side ends, that is it. That's a brief time. However, the spiritual side is eternity. There won't be any ending. Either you're going to be in heaven or you're going to be in hell. By our own choice. Let's just pretend Jesus didn't rise from the death. If that happened, number one, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we would really have to eliminate New Testament. So this Bible, 27 chapters from here, should be destroyed. Why? Because it talks about Jesus Christ. So all of this will be thrown out. Since I'm in the mood of throwing out the pages of Bible, we should tear off the Old Testament as well, because Old Testament prophesied what Jesus is going to do. So we should have chucked everything of the Bible. Jesus is the Messiah. What is the definition of Messiah? Messiah is a Hebrew word. It's our translation, English translation, Meshua. It means anointed one. In Hebrew word, Jewish people clearly understand that it is anointed one and it is God. It's not somebody with the anointing. He's the anointed one. In Greek translation, it's Christo. We get the word Christ. So Jesus, it clearly tells that if Jesus didn't rise from the grave, there's no God. Second thing, if the Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, none of us would have a hope beyond this physical life. Grave is the end. This brief life is all that we have. And the majority of people live like that. What kinds of life do they have? Well, if you want to know, go down to the downtown Tucson around Friday afternoon, Friday evening. Chaos. Las Vegas, it would be greatest example. Super Bowl night would be greatest example. Only thing they care about is right now, right then. Nothing more. They cannot think. Are you guys cold?
Yeah.
Pastor Jack? One moment we had a hot flash, and next moment we have the walking freezer. If we think that there is any hope without Jesus Christ, we are kidding ourselves. If that's the case, you might as well rack up your credit card bill all the way to the maximum and do whatever you want to do and die early. What is there to look for? And you're thinking, oh, Pastor said rack up my credit card. Okay, I can do that. Have you ever heard the word being sarcastic? Yeah, I am. Third point, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we don't have any release from the guilt and fear. Have you ever done wrong things? Yes, we all have. And the forgiveness of sin would be meaningless and impossible. We would be locked in our past and cannot do anything about it, and we cannot make any advance change for the future. We would be locked in the past. Fourth point, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, the whole business of Christianity is a joke and a big fraud. The things we've been living, the things we've been following, all of that would be joke. But, what if, just what if, Jesus was risen from the dead? What would happen? I have 3 points. If Jesus rose from the dead, as the Bible says, he truly who he is, who would that be? God. Some argue that Jesus never claimed that he is God in the Bible. For that, I have a question to ask you. If you are thinking that, how much time do you have for me so I can explain to you that Jesus claimed he is God in the 4 Gospels only? I'm going to give you 3 sections, since we have a time limit. I'm going to give you 3 sections from John chapter 4, verse 25. John chapter 4, verse 25. This is the occasion at the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus talking to her. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. He claimed that he is Christ. He is the anointed one. He is the Messiah. Mark chapter 14. Go to the left side. Mark chapter 14, verse 61. And he, of course that is Jesus, kept silent and answered nothing. Again, high priest asked him, saying to him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? You might want to jot down in Hebrew context, Jewish context, he's the Son of Man, Son of God, the Blessed One. In Jewish setting, that is equal as God the Father. They understand clearly, Jewish people understand clearly Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit equal. They don't have any doubt. Continue verse 62. Jesus said, I am. Jesus claimed he is the Christ and Son of the Blessed. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the cloud of heaven. When you read further down, you will see that high priest tore his robe from the top to bottom and he said, blasphemy. If it's just an anointed person, he would not say blasphemy. What would be, why the blasphemy reserved for a human being? No reason. Blasphemy only reserved for God. And since Jesus Christ claiming to be God, he tore his clothes. Go to the John chapter 20, please. John 20 and 27. Oscar, are you falling asleep on me? Okay, stay awake, buddy. Remember, I can move to you right in front of you. Then he said to Thomas, Jesus speaking, before that, you guys know the story. Thomas said, unless I can put my finger into his nail print, unless I put my hands into the side where the spear pierced, I will not believe that he is resurrected. Jesus showed up in front of him. Put your finger here and see my hand. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Do not be faithless any longer. Believe. Would you read the next five words together with me? My Lord and my God. Is that clear enough to you? And Jesus didn't say, oh, no, I'm not God, okay? I'm just an anointed dude. No, he didn't say that. He accepted that position. Thomas exclaimed, verse 29, and Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who haven't seen me and believe anyway. Though Jesus never said, I am God directly, he put himself in the position to accept that he is God. So you may wonder, why did Jesus didn't clearly tell us that he is God? Why? Have you ever thought about that? Here is my reason. The reason I believe that if he told everyone to show them he was God, that he was forcing people to believe that he is God. And that would be raw power of God. He never forced anyone to believe in him. He gives them the choice to accept the truth and to follow him, or to deny the truth and reject him. Some insist that, well, Jesus was not God, but he was a good teacher. That comment has a problem. It's self-contradicting. Jesus claimed that, as we know, we just read, Jesus claimed that he is God. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. If that is the case, either he is a liar. If he's not a God and he's a good teacher, either he's a liar or lunatic. Not a good teacher because he just lied. Am I making sense to you? So don't buy the story when somebody says, well, Jesus is not God, but he's a good teacher. That doesn't stand. There's way too many evidence pointing to Jesus as God. That brings the second point. If Jesus rose from the dead, as the Bible says, the value of our lives will be determined by the relationship to his resurrection. We just memorized Hebrews 9:27. As it appointed to man, die once, after this, the judgment. Everyone in human history will stand before risen Savior someday. And according to the Bible, every mouth will confess and every knee shall bow and every mouth will confess that Jesus is Lord. If you say Jesus is your Lord now, then you will be fine. But if you reject him being a Lord, your Lord, you will say it, but in a different atmosphere. He is the Lord of the universe. Whether people want it or not, as long as we live in his universe, folks, he makes his own rules, and we have to follow him. When you were a kid, we were a kid once, right? Before 18 years old, when you do something wrong, and your parents said that clearly, I think the parents talk to each other. They send the email back and forth. And when you have this kind of situation, talk to your kid this way. My parents said, if you don't like the way I do, move out. As long as you live under my roof, you will do what I say. That sounds familiar to you? Probably some of you already said that to your kid. So let me put that in God's term. As long as you live in his universe, you live the way he wants. You don't like it? Go outside of his universe, make your own universe. And you can be your own God. But you make your own universe without God's help, of course. If you can do that, more power to you. Go for it. Oh, by the way, you have to create your own oxygen too. Listen, if your life is linked with this carnal world's way, if you live for your carnal pleasures, worldly value, and reject the invitation by Jesus Christ, you will be judged according to your rejection. Listen, hell is nothing less than the truth known too late. Once you get to hell, there's no turning back. Once you take a last breath and you still reject God, you will face that horrible damnation. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John is way in the back as we remembered the index. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Some of you may think that if you're not familiar with my teaching, yeah, well, I think you're just hellfire and brimstone preacher. Yes, I am. Proud of it. At the same time, I'm speaking the truth. Do not love the world or things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of Father is not in him. Let's go back to this thing, what it said. Do not love the world. What does it mean, love the world? Worldly carnal pleasure. That God says, don't do this kind of thing in the Bible. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That covers everything, doesn't it? Is the not of the Father, but is of the world. If you do follow those things, you are not with God. Third point, if Jesus who rose from the dead, as the Bible says, he is alive, and you, believers of Jesus Christ, can have a whole true hope and true peace, even though you might be in the most difficult situation. 1 John 2:17, right behind what we just read. The world is passing away and the lust of it, and but he who does the will of God abides forever. John chapter 14, please. Are you with me so far? Brian, you awake? Okay. Just checking. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Listen, please. There is no joy like a Christian joy. It can blossom in the midst of the tears and pains. And there is no peace like a peace of God. It defies the circumstance and passes all understanding. And so that we can be peaceful in the middle of the greatest storm in your life. There is no love like the love of Christ, which forgives, heals, and restores. This time, go to the 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. Verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chain, but the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if I die with him, that is Jesus Christ, we also live with him. If we endure, we also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. The word of God cannot be chained or destroyed. The Bible has been burned, banned, mocked, twisted, ignored, especially it's happening all the more in America nowadays, lately. But the Word of God stands forever. They can kill all of us. They can destroy all the Bible we have. But the Word of God stands. No government, no religious authority, no skeptic, no agnostic, no atheist, no scientist, no philosophers have been able to stop the Word of God, the work of Word of God. Because it contains God's truth. So listen up. According to the Word of God, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, receive Him as the Savior and Lord, we get to have eternal life in heaven. Unbelievers may insist, well, the loving God will not send me to hell. You are exactly correct. That's an absolute truth. But by choice, you send yourself to hell by rejecting Him. Listen, if you don't have a Jesus in your heart as Lord and Savior, it doesn't matter how good you are, how smart you are, how good looking you are, you still end up in hell. Do you want me to make one example? Do you think Gandhi was a good person? Yes, he was a very good person. He's the goodest guy in hell. So what good does it do any good? And you may ask, are you telling me other religions is no good? According to what I know from the Bible, yes, it's no good. There's only one way to get to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. If there is any other way to get to heaven other than through Jesus Christ, Jesus didn't have to go through, die on the cross. But He did. When He was on the ground and crying for God to let the cup pass by Him in the Garden of Gethsemane, He was praying for you. He was thinking about you, each one of you, and hoping that you would not reject Him. If you do, you heard the gospel message clearly today, and you cannot say to God later, I never heard the gospel message. And then I'll stand next to you, I'll say, you're lying, man. You heard it from the broken English speaking preacher. You heard the story. You heard the truth. It's your choice to go to heaven. It's your choice to go to hell. If you haven't received Him in your heart, today is the day. Now is the time to receive. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your head, please. Don't look around. Don't look around. Don't let your pride get in the way. It's a matter of your life and death for eternity. It's time for you to receive Jesus into your heart. Religion doesn't mean a thing to God. And you may say, well, I came to church on Easter. Wow, God is so stoked. No, He's not. He's not impressed with our righteousness. Or you may say, I'll do it later. How do you know you're going to have another breath? Come make a peace with Him by receiving Him into your heart. If you'd like to receive Jesus into your heart, raise your hand. That's all it takes. Commit your life. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Including that person, all of you, repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. I realize that my sin has separated me from You. I turn away from my sin. I believe that Jesus died for my sin and rose again from the dead. So I ask You to be my Savior, my Lord. Please come into my heart. Welcome to the family of God.